Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is D&K Bible Break. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Derek Oliver, my co-host, my lovely wife, Miss Kay. Good evening, Kay.
Good evening and happy Monday.
Yes, we want to thank all those for tuning in this evening. Those that are listening on Blog Talk Radio online, www.chaostalkwithderekoliver, or on the phone lines at 845-277-9094. We just want to thank you for tuning in and supporting us. And we're going to have another great show tonight. Great conversation we're going to talk about tonight, some things we're going to get into. I have some guests coming on with me. I'm going to introduce, and then we're going to get into what we're going to talk about on this evening. Again, we just want to thank all those for tuning in. Hopefully you had a great Easter weekend. Hopefully your Resurrection Sunday was well. And hopefully you had a good day today to get your week started off. Hopefully we can be enlightening. And more importantly, on tonight, like we try to do every night, try to get you to think and conversate about certain things. And I'm not going to say we're not going to have the answer for you tonight, but tonight we're going to do something a little different. It ain't different, but just a little different. Because I really don't know if there is a right or wrong answer. So we're going to be talking about on tonight when someone say they're ready to go home to be with the Lord, they're not trying to commit suicide, but they just want to, they're ready to go home, they're tired, is pretty much what we're going to be talking about tonight. How do you encourage them? How do you try to convince them to keep fighting? Or do you just let them go? That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Hopefully I explained it right. Also, there's going to be on the show tonight, I got some people joining me tonight. I have from my church, Elder Victor Bluett, who will be joining us this evening to give us some insight. Also, he also has a show. He's also an elder at Praise Tabernacle Church. He has the show just started a couple weeks ago. The Bluett family, I don't want to mess the name up. Why? So you say the name of his show for me.
The Royal Blues.
The Royal Blues. They come on every Thursday night at 7 p.m. He anchors the show with his wife, Evangelist Bluett. Elder Bluett will be one of my guests tonight to help us with this conversation we're going to talk about. Also, I have not a stranger to the show. He also has his own show on Chaos Talk, Overseer Timothy Jackson out of Dallas, Texas. He comes on Spiritual Sense of Life every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central Time. He's also on Wednesday night with Elder Bazaar out of Warren, Ohio. On Wednesday night and on Sundays. Wednesday night is at 9 and on Sundays at 5, you'll hear the overseer, Timothy Jackson, commenting. And I wanted to get two other people's opinion in here as we talk about, and I'm going to have my wife, but I'll bring them on. Wife, am I saying the topic right?
Pretty much like, what do you do or how do you react to someone who wants to die, but they're not saying they want to commit suicide. They're not suicidal or anything like that. They're just tired of how life is. So not necessarily that they're trying to check out. They're just tired. Like we all get at times. We get tired.
Right. And someone asked us to talk about this. So at the last minute, we decided to talk about it, and I asked two guests to come on last minute to try to give some insight. So if you ever want us to talk about something or you want to learn about something, you know, feel free to call us. We ain't going to say we have all the answers, but we will try to steer you in the right direction. And I just know this subject kind of hit close to home for my wife. And I'm going to let her tell the story. But at the same time, before she tells the story, I asked her before we came on the air, would she do things differently today? And she said she would. So I'm going to let her open up, tell her story, and then we're going to bring in my guests and see what they got to say about it. So go ahead, wife, and if you don't mind sharing your story with us.
Okay. Can you open us up in prayer first?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you right now, Father God. Father God, we just ask that you would have your way right now, Father God. Father God, we ask that if there's anything in us that's not like you, that you'd clean us up, Father God. Father God, we ask for forgiveness for the things that we've done, knowing and unknowing, Father God. Father God, let us be able to give your word, Father God, give you all the praise and all the glory, Father God, as we uplift you. And Father God, we just want you to be the center of the conversation on tonight, Father God. And Father God, I ask you to touch each and every speaker that we have tonight, Father God, that, again, that using your wisdom, Father God, that we may be able to say something to uplift you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So this subject that we're talking about, a friend of mine, she knew somebody who experienced this on last week, and she asked if we would talk about it. And I'm like, yeah, we can talk about it. And just by her mentioning the subject, it kind of like pricked my heart a little, because I had a situation in 2018 where I had a cousin who was like my best friend. Like, this was my homie. He was just everything to me. So we talked all the time. We hung out whenever I went home. And so he had gotten ill, and he suffered from Crohn's. And where we're from, you know, the doctors and stuff, they're a little, I'm not going to call them shady, but they don't do their job fully. It's like, oh, well, they really, it doesn't seem like they care too much there. But he wasn't getting the proper medical treatment, and he was in a lot of pain. And I remember him calling me around Thanksgiving of 2018, telling me how much pain he was in. And he actually had coded at his mom's house, and they brought him back to life. And he was just telling me how he was in so much pain, and he was crying out to the Lord to take him because of the pain. And I'm telling him, no, we're not praying that, you know, what would I do without you? And I'm yelling at him, like, don't be praying that. And what he ended up passing away in February, like, it's like right after my birthday, he passed away in 2019. So by him saying all of that, what I wish I would have done was listen more instead of getting in my feelings and speaking out about how I felt about what he was saying. So I think it's important that we listen to people and see where they are. A lot of the times we're quick to put our own feelings in the situation, and that may not be mm-hmm. needed. So if I would do it different, I would do it different going forward. Like, I want to make sure that I'm listening to the person besides worrying about how I feel and you know, what I think about it. Go ahead and talk, because I'm going to – I'm getting emotional now, so go ahead. But that's how I feel. I would do it different.
Okay. Well, I'm going to bring on I got two special guests. If they heard a little bit about it, I'm going to bring on, since he's out of Texas, I'm going to bring on Overseer Timothy Jackson. You heard the conversation, my man, and I just want you to give your input on it.
Amen. Thank you for having me. Amen. It's good to be back. Hello, Derek. Hello, Sister Kay. Amen.
Good evening.
And I believe that amen. I believe there's a amen. Thank you. I believe there's a minister, Blue. I believe you guys
Elder
said
Bluette.
Really. Elder Bluette. Amen. Hello, Elder Bluette. Amen. This is a great subject. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. This is a great subject. Very challenging. Amen. And I welcome the challenge anytime in ministry, because I tell people that we shouldn't run away or shy away from subjects, because it's what grows us and it's what challenges us. And I know that when we get to talking to people about you know, wanting to leave earlier, or maybe as Sister Kay said, you know, her family member wanted to leave because of the pain that he was in, and her mentioning that, you know, a lot of times when we hear family members say that, I remember when my dad, when he was passing away from cancer, and me and my brother, he's a minister too, we was kind of counseling with one another, and we had kind of like stopped praying for him, you know, for God to heal him, because it may not have been God's will. It's difficult to deal with those types of things. We all deal with it. I tell people, first of all, before anything, I'm a man. I'm human. That's why I tell people, I'm no better, bigger, smarter, no more saved than anybody else that's saved or not, you know, or better than anyone else. I deal with things that believers and non-believers deal with every single day. I'm human. There are times to where, you know, life struggles, life bears down on you. And as the sister said, you don't want to commit suicide, of course not, especially us as believers. But we like, Lord, you know what? If you was to come and get me today, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I can only imagine the pain that this gentleman was going through, her family member. You know, some of us not even dealing with some of the things that people are dealing with. And we may feel like, man, you know what? If I don't make it to 75 or 80 or whatever, I think because, you know, the things that we go through in life, not saying that we want to just give up, because God says, you know, we have a work to do. Amen. So you know, we stay available. We stay praying. We feel different, you know, the next day, or maybe, you know, later on the week, we may feel a little different. But challenges come to everybody. We all deal with these challenges. Believers or non-believers, we're all human. There's, you know, I've had some people say that were, that's, you know, quote unquote, say they were Christians or believers, say that you know, that doesn't arise to them. And I can't say whether it does or doesn't. Everyone is different. Everyone's challenges are different. And so when a person has such pain, you know, my dad, you know, when he was passing, you know, when he was, you know, the doctor said there was nothing more he could do. You know, I can only imagine the pain that he felt, and I didn't want him to continue to suffer. So we just pray that God's will be done. And a lot of times, if there's nothing that man can do, if God says that, you know, maybe, you know, I want them to be with me, you know, there's, you know, just nothing that we could do but pray that God's will be done. And that's a very difficult thing.
Can I pose a question? God's will be done. That's my final say on everything. Because a lot of times you want to encourage people, say, oh, it's going to get better, or you're going to be all right. And sometimes people don't want to hear that. They're not receiving any of that. So my prayer is the Lord's will to be done in that person's life, because only he knows what's best for them. So if you had a person that asked you specifically, not asked you specifically, but said you heard this person say, I'm tired and I'm ready to go on. I'm ready to go home. Like, what do we say to a person that's saying that? Like, literally, they're saying it and they're telling you. Not in pain. What if they're not, like, in chronic pain? Maybe they're just tired of just life and how
it's everyday life
turning out for them.
Okay, so would this person be a believer or a non-believer?
A believer, that's just, she's just saying, Lord, just take me home. I'm tired of all of this. And they're just tired of everything. But they're a believer, and they're just asking that the Lord take them home.
Right.
Before we answer that question.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Before we answer that question, before we get too far ahead, I want to give Elder Blue a chance to comment on story. Okay. So without no further ado, can you chime in real quick?
Amen. Amen. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
That's a very touchy subject or conversation to have, especially with a loved one or somebody that you're friends with. Just for instance, and it is about what you said, Lady Cable. So just for instance, about 4 years ago, my brother got real sick. He's in the hospital for about 5 months. And every day I went to visit him and didn't miss a day and stay all day. And he would always talk about, he was an over-the-road trucker. He would always talk about getting back in his truck, getting back to his life. But when you looked at him, he had lost so much weight that he was right around probably 45 pounds. But in his mind, this is what he wanted to do. In his heart, and what he spoke about was all positivity, even though he saw himself in the mirror at the hospital. And it got to a point that the doctors came and talked to me about, you know, there's probably nothing else they can do, and that we should look for a home for him to be comforted in his last days. And me and my brother talked about that. He could barely talk. And he had been saved before. And this is talking about people that at the point of giving up are trying to give up. But this is right before that when I'm telling you about the story about my brother. So after the hospital talked to me about that, and me and my brother have been talking every day, all day, for those 5 months, I asked him, I said, Rick, do you want to give your life again to Christ? He said, yeah. So we did that, and he looked me straight in my eyes, and he said, Vic, I'm good. I know. Wow. I'm not leaving here. I'm good. So me just knowing his life, how he is, what he was about, and when he said that, I felt content because, like the speaker said before, we're human, we're flesh, we're man, we're men first. I felt refreshed. It gave me a sense of reprieve that he again accepted Christ back in his life and said he was good. And he said, you know, I'm good, man. I appreciate you. And it was the very next day that he passed. So I want to read this verse right quick in Jeremiah. When we have people that say, you know, things like that to us, we need to have a scripture, have something. I know our flesh gets in the way, it gets weak, and we want to say this, that, and the other, you know, but we still need to have a piece of God to share with them. So Jeremiah 29, verse 11, and you can find something anywhere in the Bible for this, but verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And like Apostle Paul said, whatever state I find myself in, to be there with content. So that's all I have for right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So I've experienced this. I've heard people. I know an elderly lady that said that she was tired and she was just ready to go home. And as me and it was her son encouraged her that she still had more work to do. But she said to her that she was at peace and she was just tired of the world. She was tired of hurting. She was ready to go home. And like maybe 2 months later, she passed in her sleep. Wasn't no more pain. It wasn't no suffering. She just passed. Amen. And I think about things when people say stuff like that, and then they actually do pass, and it's a peaceful. It's like they're ready. Yeah. And I don't know. And I'm just bringing it up around for just because I just don't know. I'm not ashamed. I don't know. But a lot of times people will say they can remember their last conversation. And a last conversation was the person was telling them that they were ready. Just like Elder Bluette was talking about his brother, he knew that he was at peace. And he knew it gives you a sense of, okay, the Lord's will was being done because he was ready. And when you're ready, it's not a sign of you're giving up. It's just a sign that you know that there's a better place. And, you know, the scriptures, you know, you get a new body, a new mind. It's different. You know, and I shared with my wife, you know, I had that when I was going through my chemo and everything. I said, I was ready to go. Now, I'm not ready to go right now, but at that time, you just feel like, man.
Right.
And I know the Lord's will for my life, it wasn't ready to be over again. But I'm just like, okay, I'm at peace. I'm good. And I don't think any of us say we're ready to go, but if we was to go, I think we all would be in sound mind that we're ready to go. I'm talking about the winners on the people on the line right now. We're ready. You know, not that we want to go, because I think we all feel we got work to do. But if we're ready, it's just because you know the scriptures. You know that to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. You know you're going to get a new body. Amen. Everything is going to be better. It's an exciting thing. So I don't look at it when I hear someone say that they're ready. I'm thinking they got everything in order. Now, it's kind of touchy because I didn't know we were going to be talking about this. And I keep in remembrance because every time I call home and I talk to my mom, she'll give me something. And I'm like, okay. And it's funny because she's giving it to me now, and I think it's for later, if you know what I mean. And she told me, the matter of fact, the last time I talked to her, not yesterday, but the day before, we're all planning to go back home for Mother's Day. And my mom's grandkids and everybody's supposed to be coming. And my mother said something to me, and it kind of shook me because she was fussing at me. She always fussed at me. And she was saying, I know you're going to be all right because you got a good wife. She's taking care. And she said, don't mess it up. And I'm like, why are you telling me this? I did you talk to, did I do something? You know, I'm asking myself this question. And then, you know, my wife said, you know, someone want to talk about this. And even though my mother's still alive, some of the things that she said over the last few months to me individually in private has just been a reassurance that she's okay with me where I am in the state of my life right now. She's good to see me praising the Lord, doing what I'm doing. And you know, I'm not going to get too much in that because I don't want to get emotional. But just for the people that's on here, and I don't want to take too much time, but it's just when you hear people talk about that, and, you know, first people think, oh, they ready to commit suicide. And, you know, that's not what we're saying. You know, that's a whole nother subject for people who's ready to quit and give up. These people who we're talking about is hurting. And then again, it may be the same thing. I don't know. I'm going to throw it out there because someone may be saying that it's the same thing as people that want to commit suicide. So I don't know. I don't think it is. But then again, I'm not an expert on that type of thing, so I don't know about that. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to my wife for a minute.
I'm not an expert on it either, but I would think that one would be different from the other because for someone to take their own life, they're doing that with their own hand versus them asking the Lord to take them home. So I don't think it would be the same thing. Y'all the elders, let me know if I'm wrong.
No, it's not the same. You know, in fact, I spoke to one of my mentors, and you know one of them very well. And like I said, we all can relate. Like I tell people, it doesn't matter if you're a believer or unbeliever. At some point, you do. This world is tough. It really is. Life is rough. And it, like I tell people, I'm a man first. It bears down on me just like it bears down on the next man or woman. And no, it's not the same. You know, of course, when you're a believer, our mindset is different. We don't think of taking our lives. That's not our mindset. But, you know, do you want to give up? Are there times where you say, man, you know what? And now my mindset now, because of what we are aware of and what we know as far as Christ returning soon, I always say, Lord, if you were to come back today, amen. And I say, not saying that I'm ready to die. I'm saying, but if you were to come back and get to church today, I'm okay with that. Amen. But I always say, you know, if it's your will, you know, if you have it for me to live as long as I possibly can, that's what I would like to do, is to be here with my wife and children. Even Paul talked about You know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, you know. So Paul was letting you know himself, you know, he's dealing with some things, you know, and just in general, just the church, just us as believers, we go through things in this life, you know, but we know that it's God's will for us to do the work that he has given us and according to his will, you know. God said, no, I'm not ready for you to come yet. You still have work to do. You know, when I'm ready for you, you'll know. And I believe that a lot of times we do hear some people say, especially if they're going through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, maybe they're mature in age like you guys have stated, we know that they're tired. You know, as I think we have all heard loved ones and family members say, I'm just tired. You know, especially when they get up in age, you know, when they start getting 70, 80, 90 years old, you know, they're ready. You know, they feel like they've done their due diligence and they're okay. And sometimes when people maybe be in our age range, maybe they're not as elder in age, maybe they just feel like they're just suffering too much because we never know what people go through. I know Derek said he'll throw it out there, and if you guys want to have this discussion, I remember I had this discussion with my church. I always have this discussion with my church because, again, it's something that has to be talked about because you never know what you may deal with. You never know the question that people may have, suicide. And I remember some years ago there was a conversation in the church. I was teaching Sunday school, and the conversation was about this young teenage girl that committed suicide. And I believe someone had brought up the notion that, you know, well, if you commit suicide, you're going to hell. Well, there's nowhere in the Bible that referenced that. So we have to be careful with that. Because, for one, we don't know what that young girl went through. She had been taken advantage of. And, you know, I'm a man. I've been blessed. I have five older brothers. I'm the baby of five older brothers. I've been blessed that nothing like that has ever happened to me. Family, stranger, none of that. I mean, I know guys that, you know, that family members that have done that to them, women will confide in you things that are happening with them when they're young. We never know what people go through, so we have to be careful about being judgmental and so quick to condemn and to put people in hell. Because remember, God, first of all, is what? God is love and he is merciful. Okay? And, you know, and I'll share with you later on the show if it's necessary the age of what I believe the age of accountability is, and I'll share with you some scriptures on that. A lot of people say the age of accountability is 12. I don't believe it's 12, not according to the scriptures. I believe it's a lot older. But we never know what people go through in life. So I don't want to just get to condemn people, you know, to that state when I can't relate to that. I don't know, you know, the pain that they go through daily. And if people, because I ask often, why do people go through so much hurt and pain? I've been through some things in my life. But some of the things that people share with me, I'm just like, goodness, then I ain't really been through anything, really, according to what this person is sharing with me. And those are some very hurtful things. So, you know, in a situation like that, I would probably say, you know, no, it's not a bad thing for your friend to confide and say, hey, you know what, I've been through this. And they may be a young person, 30, 40, 50 years old. They say, hey, you know what, I'm ready to leave. You know, I can't really, now I would try to pray for them and encourage them. You know, if you're in good health, that, hey, things can get better. I always tell people that tomorrow can change. Today may be storming, but tomorrow the sun will be out. And that's how life is. We know that. You know, I've had some situations in my life where it's constant storms and all of a sudden the sun comes out and I feel different. I feel better. I just feel like, okay, I can go on. I can continue.
Amen.
Yeah, this is very, like I said, it's a, I don't want to say touchy, but it's a good conversation to have. You can learn a lot. But just listening to everyone talk, I'm going to Elder Bluette have a few words. But I asked my wife, would she do things differently? Because when you're faced with a loved one, it's different. It's just different because you don't want that person to go. The first thing you're going to do is know it's going to get better. You seem to encourage because you don't want that person to leave, regardless.
Right.
I think he lost his calm. Elder Bluette, you want to chime in while until he gets his system back up? All right, I'll chime in.
Elder Bluette?
I'll chime in. So, you know, like we're all saying, we all go through things in life, and I'm a true believer that we as individuals, I always say, I don't care how the person, I don't want to say I don't care, but if a person, you know, they're known to be living a certain lifestyle, and then you have other people who are, you know, they're believers, I think it's important to try to reach that person who may be living a certain lifestyle, who may be having these thoughts as well, and try to, you know, encourage them to let them know, you know, there is a God. There is a God who is ready and able to help them in their situation. There is a God.
That's right.
So I don't like to see people say they want to give up. If I can, I'm going to try to encourage them, but at the same time, I'm going to still pray that the Lord's will be done in their life because he, like I said earlier, he knows what's best. He knows how much people can bear. He knows what we go through day in and day out. So he knows everyone's situation. If that person feels, Lord, I'm tired and I can't do this, I've said I can't do this anymore. I've been stressed to the point where I feel like I should be in a mental hospital. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, he didn't allow me to go down that route. So it's important that if you know somebody, just be there for somebody, comfort them. Sometimes you don't even have to say a word. Just be available to somebody. Just be present. Let them know that if they do need you, they can call you, that you're going to be there for them. So it's important to just be available for people. And don't be caught up in your own selfish, you know, feelings.
Right.
Be available to people.
Amen.
All right, husband, you back on the line? Oh, no. I don't know what's going on. Elder Bluette, you on the line? All right, Pastor, it's just me and you. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
You want to try, man?
Hey, man, I guess I don't have a choice. Hey, man, all glory be to the all glory be to the Most High. Hopefully they'll be back. Amen. So I'll read some scriptures, amen. And I'll let the listener. Hey, there we go. The brother's back, amen. I'll come back and read my scriptures later. Go ahead, doctor.
Unmute Elder Bluette.
Okay, I'm good now. Sorry about that. This is very interesting conversation. But you know what I found out through the years, if you would just let people talk, just listen to them, because some people just want to talk to somebody, and they don't necessarily need a person that's going to talk with them.
Amen.
But just to somebody hear them, and it's a good chance, and I found this to be true, it's a good chance while they're talking, they're thinking and hearing their own self talk. And they'll talk themselves right out of that situation. And that's when your agreement comes in.
Amen.
So we have to be patient. You'll have those situations where you need to say something because of the rationale of their conversation. But normally just let people talk. Give them a space to get it out. It'll give you some bullets to comprehend and speak on, but it'll also give them an ear to hear their own voice, their own situation, and talk themselves through it just by you listening. And again, like with my brother, for those 5 months, I did a lot of listening, and it wasn't on purpose. It was just the atmosphere of the situation that I had to witness, the deterioration, but still the motivation in his voice that he was going to get out of this and do something in life. So, So let's just, you know, give a shoulder to folk. And I'm sure you know, Overseer, that, you know, somebody in your congregation come talk to you. You know, you listen and give them the best advice you can based on what they said. and not talking with them.
That's right.
Okay, I just apologize for that. I'm having some engineering problems, but hopefully we got it fixed now. Can you hear me?
We can hear
yes,
you.
Sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Good. I do apologize for that. And again, you know, just putting out there really what everyone is saying, I think everyone's coming out with some good points and everything. And, you know, sometimes it is good to just listen before we talk. And a few minutes ago, well, a little earlier before we came on there, I asked my wife, and I said this before, would she do things differently? And she said she would. She would just be there to listen. And it's given me great tools because as I listen to people talk sometimes, you know, being a minister, the first thing we want to do, we want to try to encourage. We want to try to look at things because I know I'm not going to say we're being trained. It's just automatic for us. Like the Lord can change your situation. You know, it's just is a given. And then sometimes to listen, it's harder to just listen to someone. And like Elder Blue has said, just let them talk. And if you just let them talk without saying something, they can hear themselves. And you may not have to say nothing because they can come up with their own solution. They may start out thinking they don't want to be here. But by the time they get done listening to themselves talk, you know, they may have a different opinion because they're listening to themselves. As you lend an ear, don't always have to talk. And I know as preachers, we always want to talk and be that voice. And sometimes it's just good just to be quiet and listen to people. And that's just a note for myself to take, especially when you're doing outreach ministry and you're talking to people and you hear people say those type of things. And we want to be so quick to save them. And the fact of the matter is, upon their confession, they're going to say themselves just by having someone listen to them. And sometimes we don't even have to talk. And a lot of times
the Holy Spirit can move through that person by them, you know, you would say things out loud and let the Holy Spirit just have his way. And if we just be quiet, we can let the Spirit flow, just to add to what you were saying.
Yeah, no, you're good. It's just, you know, sometimes, and I'm just speaking from my experience, you know, I'm so quick to want to talk, and it's so easy to talk. You know, we all preachers, we know how quick we can just want to talk, and it's sometimes the hardest ministry is just to be quiet and let that person, like Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus, when Jesus went home to have dinner with him, Jesus didn't say nothing. He just sat there and listened to him. And upon his man, he made his own confession. And all Jesus did was sat there. He didn't give him no scriptures. He didn't say nothing. He just sat there with them. And sometimes we just got to sit there with people where they're at in their lane and just let them talk. And then, like my wife said, let the Holy Spirit lead and guide them. And for the person that what we really got this from was at the hospital, and the lady was so fed up, she said she was just ready to go. I've been there before. And I'm just ready, you know, because come get me right now. And you know, it's crazy, and it sounds crazy to I'm gonna say to non-believers, because to them it's like you're giving up. It's not that you're giving up. It's just the fact that, you know, you got better somewhere else. And I say this all the time. This is the closest to heaven some people gonna get. And this is the closest to hell some people are going to get. It just depends on seeing you all. And you know, people say, well, you crazy for thinking, no, because you got to make plans. And as we all live every day, we're trying to build up our rewards in heaven. So, you know, if it came down to it, you know, when things get a little tough, you know, it's easy for us to say, okay, Lord, come get me. I'm ready. You know, I'm good. But then again, it's not my will, it's his will. And if he feels I have more work to do, he's going to make sure things keep happening now, you know. Then again, you know, there's some people who've been through so much, and we don't know their condition. We don't know what was going on or what drove them to do certain things. And again, it's not our heaven or hell to put anybody in. And this is one of the few times, because it's hard, because I know some people who, you know, you just don't know. You don't know what the last seconds of someone's life may be like. And you know, you have some, you know, there's so many different situations. And I don't really want to get into that, so many different situations, because you have some people who could have done something could have lived a perfect life, and at the very end did something so crazy. And then again, you could have someone that had some stuff done to them that was so crazy, but at the very end, they finally got the answer. And sometimes, you know, I'm a firm believer, you know, when the Lord comes to get you, he come get you. And sometimes he'll get some folks, get them out of here before they end up hurting themselves eternally. And I just believe that. You know, some people who die young, I believe the Lord took them when they were ready. And sometimes it doesn't take them all day for someone to get ready to go to the Lord. And some of us is a work in progress. We're still working. And I ain't perfect yet. I'm still working. And I'm confident where I would go, but I'm still working on, because I know the Lord still have work for me to do. So it's just a touchy situation. And, I don't have all the answers to all these questions or what people say or how people judge it, because I do hear when people talk about suicide, you know, I was brought up, if you committed suicide, you was going to hell. A lot of old school people just automatically thinks that, says that, and you know, will argue with you to the end on that. And again, we don't have a heaven and hell to put them in. So, but, you know, it's a slippery slope. You know, because you got people out here that never been to church, ain't never praised God, ain't never did nothing, just raising all kind of hell, and end up taking themselves out of here because they didn't have so much damage, and then put them in heaven like they was good their whole life.
Amen.
And then you know, that's why it's a slippery slope, because you don't know what that last breath was. You just don't know. And from the area I come from and the people that I know, everyone I know have some type of knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And even the ones that I know that don't even go to church, never went to church, they know, they've heard enough to know who Jesus is. Now, whether they accept him or not, that's on them. But it's not up to me to say whether they did or they didn't in the last few seconds, because I wasn't there to hear it. So I don't know. And just like the thief on the cross, he waited to the very end before he accepted Christ. And for people who didn't know the thief on the cross or who knew him, who may not have had knowledge of that conversation between him and Jesus, probably thought that he went to hell, just like the other thief. But because it's in Scripture and we heard the conversation between him and Jesus, we know that Jesus said that he would remember him. So we don't know what people's last conversation was. That was just a record that Jesus gave to us. We don't know. And before we, like I said, want to put people in heaven and hell, you know, it's not our heaven and hell to put anybody in. So I'm going to let my guests talk, because I'm always on here talking and everything. Go ahead, Wise.
Can I just read a scripture? Go ahead.
Hold on for the overseer to give the scriptures, because I know he's going to get in it. But I do want to say this is that simple. God knows how much we can take. He already has our expected end, our expected date. He has that already. And just speaking on Christians, if you know that you've done all you can in the Word of God to please God, to give him the praise and what you do in serving him, it's not wrong to say, I would rather be with him now. It's not wrong to
Amen.
Say it's not wrong to say that. But we as humans, we take that, oh no, I don't want you to die. I don't, you know. But that person may have done all they can do. And a part
Amen.
Of their life at that time, they accept it. If we don't rightly accept it, are we Christians? Do we believe where we're going?
Right.
So Apostle Paul said, I know there was to be content that whatever state I find myself in. There's a lot that goes with that, but I just want to pull that point out about Apostle Paul. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to be with God. But I would rather stay here for your betterment, to teach you more, so that you can get to a state where I'm at. But we have to believe the word of God that if people do all they can do, like they should, like we all should, and they say I'm tired, but they're content in what they've done in their life, we have to accept that. Go ahead, Overseer.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful conversation tonight. Amen. This is much needed. Amen. Like I said, iron sharpens iron. Amen. I just want to share some scriptures, amen, and I just want to make sure I clarify, because sometimes when I make that statement about suicide, sometimes people misinterpret what I'm saying. So, amen. So let's take a look at what I believe it's over in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Let me see if I can find that verse real quick on what Paul said, amen, and it's, amen, it's the same thing that Elder Blewett just said, amen. Let me see if I can find it real quick. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Let's see if I can find it. There we go. Verse 8. Amen. I like how Paul writes. Paul's such a great writer. Amen. Paul said, we are confident. Amen. So as the brother said, as believers, we're confident. Amen. When I go to bed, I know I'm saved. Amen. No matter where I go, what I do, I pray when I leave the house. Amen. And I'm confident that if God was to take me the next second, the Bible says, Paul said, I'll be absent, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And Christ also mentioned over in the book of Luke, when he's talking about the rich man and Lazarus and the rich man, he said that when Lazarus died, the angels came and got him. Angels come and get the believers at death. So we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. So Paul said, we rather be with the Lord. Amen. I know I do. I'm just going to be real. I love my wife. I love my children. Amen. But this pain and suffering. And so when people get closer to death or they're suffering so much, they just feel that, hey, I'm better off being with the Lord. Amen. And like the brother said, there's nothing wrong with that mindset, with that thought. And though we may want them to be here because we love them, we don't want to miss them. I don't want none of my loved ones or friends to go. Not right now. What I feel is before the time. I know I have a brother, you know, sometimes he says things out loud. And he was saying something just on yesterday. And so he was just actually saying that Christ needs to go ahead and come on back. And I had to laugh because sometimes I have that mindset. Man, you know, it'd be nice if Christ go ahead and come on back. But if he decides not to come back in our lifetime, amen, we're okay with that. Because we know that we got a work to do, and that just means more opportunity for us to do what? To grow the kingdom of God, because that's what he wants. He doesn't want no one to be lost, amen? And so it says and to be present with the Lord. Amen. Then I want to share this other scripture if I got a few minutes. It's over in 1 John. Amen. It's actually the 1 John, the 3rd chapter, the 15th verse. And before I read that, I just want to make this quick clarification. Amen. I'm not telling no one that suicide is okay. No. I do believe, as we have been brought up and taught, that suicide can lead to bad consequences when you're not saved, because I believe you have the mindset of a believer. God doesn't put no more on you than you can bear. God's not going to allow you to be in a situation to where you want to commit suicide. That's what I believe. Amen. And so not for someone taking their lives. Man, I'm like the brothers and the sisters, like you all have said. You know, we pray, we work with people. Amen. I believe Sister Kay said, you know, if someone's a non-believer and they're having that talk, amen, I've dealt with certain situations like that where it's a shock when you hear people say that, because you know, that's not a laughing matter at all. It's not nothing to play with teenagers, not with adults. But it's a shock to hear somebody you know and love say that, because the first thing that comes to my mind is like, okay, what's going on in their world to bring them to this conclusion that they want, they'd rather end it all and that they'd be better off dead, when there's a world that loves them. There are people that in their world that love them and that would really truthfully miss them. And so I don't want anyone to think that it's okay to commit suicide. I don't want anyone to take their life. Amen. So we are praying for you. If you have those thoughts and those feelings, I love you. I know everyone on this panel tonight loves you. Amen. I cannot ever see you, never meet you, and I love you. That's what the love of God does. And the love of God gives you hope. Amen. And a better tomorrow. This is what the scripture says. It says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So we don't want anyone to take life, whether it's your own life or someone else's life. That's just not the mindset of us who believe. Amen. Amen. Our mindset is for life. It's for love. Amen. And I'll say this, and I'll turn it back over to whoever's next. Amen. Is that we're here for you. I don't know if Brother Derek has an email. Amen. We'll be praying for someone. Just send your first name. But I don't want to see no one leave before the time. So it is a difference between someone who's saying, hey, I'm just a little tired. If God was to come back today, or, hey, I'm just ready to go, that's a little different. If they don't have the mentality, then someone who's saying they want to take their own lives. So definitely we don't want you to have that mindset. Amen. We want you to receive salvation. Amen. And I guarantee you, once you receive salvation, God will change your world like you would never believe. Amen.
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 So let me ask a question. Just on the lines of suicide. So I did read a while back, and I think even recently, that there was a pastor, I know for sure there was a pastor out in California at one of the mega churches who committed suicide. And this pastor was over the mental health group at his church. And I just wonder, like how does a person get to that point? They're a pastor, and they're over a mental issues group in their church. How do they get to that point as a believer? Anybody?
Amen.
I believe that creates discouragement for people who were just on the edge of giving their life to Christ. Creates discouragement, and like you say, a mega church, where I don't know how many people, but it must be a lot, that are on the right road. It creates discouragement. It creates an atmosphere of, well, if he couldn't do it right, you know what I mean? And the devil loves to play on that playground. He loves to do it. Know where that pastor may end up. We don't know. We don't know what his work was entirely, or what he may have faulted at, or what he may have been embarrassed at. We don't know. And like somebody was saying, we can't judge people. But the atmosphere of discouragement can throw a lot of people off. They hear that type of news from where they're at in their life, and the devil loves that.
Not only that, and when you're dealing with people, I believe I heard Overseer say, and I believe I heard Elder Blewett say that, we're men first. We're men. And if you're around a certain situation over, that's why it's, you have to really be called. Because when you get yourself in a situation and you're around a lot of different, people who are maybe, have mental issues, and you're around it 24/7, and ain't no one ministering to you, the devil will mind and play tricks on you. So you have to be careful, especially when you're in the ministry. You got to be careful. You can't just say, I'm going to do something, and do it because you're opening yourself up. And if you're not getting the proper ingredient, food, spiritual food, The devil will mess with you. You know, the devil is real. He go to church every Sunday. He knows scriptures too. My question is, and again, you got to be careful because we don't want to judge anybody. Because before, in my younger days, I would have had a field day with this pet because we don't know what he went through. There's mental issues running my family. It's very deep. And if you're around it 24/7, around different situations, and then because he was a pastor, I don't have the evidence, don't know the man. I'm just going to just go on a limb, wasn't no one ministering to him.
Amen.
As he was ministering to them type of different spirits. Go ahead.
It's important that we don't everything that we go through in life, we're one step away from doing something wrong. It's nothing but the grace of God that keeps us. So at any given point, we just all need to be grateful and thank God for his grace, because we could be that person. It's by the grace of God that he keeps us in our right mind daily.
Right.
So it's important not to look at people a certain kind of way, because maybe they may not know the situation that they put themselves in, and they don't know how to get out of that situation. So it's important that we also extend grace to other people the way God has extends grace to us.
Amen. Amen. I'll read the scripture again before I don't know if we have a few minutes or I just want to share the scripture again. I'll read it carefully because I don't know the person. I don't know their life personally. You know, like I say, we don't have a heaven to hell, but all I tell people, the only thing I can do is tell you what the Bible says. Amen. And from there, I let people draw their own conclusions. Amen. I'll read 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 15 again. It says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." Amen. So, as I said before, I don't condone suicide acts. I'm not saying that if a person commits suicide, they're in heaven. I'm not saying that. But all I can show you is what the scripture says. The Bible says, so if you take someone's life, and then you just go out there and just blatantly take someone's life. I don't care who you are. People, you know, and I've had people who try to come at me because, you know, people say, well, what about, since we're having this discussion, they say, well, what about police officers? What about soldiers? Amen. I was actually offered both positions, and I declined them because of who I am. Because I didn't want to be put in a position to where I had to take someone's life because, again, who I am. And so, like I say, I let people draw their own conclusions. Amen. But, you know, you just can't take someone's life. Murder in the Bible is straight to the point. The Bible even says, thou shalt not kill. That was one of the commandments. And if you look at the word kill in the Hebrew, its translation, the word kill is translated to mean murder. So to kill someone and to murder someone is two different things. Let me explain. If someone breaks into your home and you're sleeping, you have your wife and children, with the intent to harm and to kill you and murder you and your family, if you wrestle with that person and end up taking that person's life, that's not murder. You kill that person in what? Self-defense. But if I go out and blatantly just take a man's life and say, I want his shoes or his jacket or something, or I want his car, that's murder. That's what the scripture is saying. You don't have salvation when you have that type of evil mindset. And anyone who attempts to take life for no reason is a murderer. And this is what the scriptures say. And so the Bible is simply saying that that person can't have salvation if they are a murderer. So I let people draw their own conclusions. That's just what I believe according to what I've read and studied in the Bible.
Amen. Amen. I think
Elder.
I think as Elder Oliver said, and he said this many of times, we all need somebody we can talk to.
Amen.
I don't care what I don't care if you're just a regular member of church. We all need somebody that we can turn to and talk to because we do not know it all. No man knows it all.
Amen.
We only know in part. We'll only know it all when Jesus comes. But we have to have some. We have to. And we have to have that humiliation in ourselves to accept the criticism or the truth. We have to. We have to. Now going back on that pastor with the mega church, did he have somebody that was ministering to him? And that's a good example of where you can be in your life or where you can get in your life to where you have nobody and come to those types of situations. So anybody listening tonight, if you want to take your life, I beg that you don't. I beg that you seek the word of God, guidance. I beg that you seek somebody around you that you can talk to and that they have an ear to listen. I beg you to do that first.
We do have an email for anybody that wants to send a prayer request. If you're dealing with a situation that you need to talk to someone about, we are available. Our email is ptcforchrist@gmail.com. That's P for praise, T for tabernacle, C for church, forchrist@gmail.com. So send us any type of prayer request that you need if you're going through a situation, and we will reach out to you.
Amen. I'm going to have you. I want to thank Elder Bluette for coming on. Again, he's elder at the church I attend, Praise Tabernacle Church. You can also hear him on Tuesday night Bible study, which we have tomorrow, which is a plug I'm doing. He sits on the panel, always giving great insight. Whatever the topic is, he's right on the money. I knew when I was going to talk about this, I was going to call him because he would, you know, he'll make sure that it's balanced. And I appreciate him for doing that. And he also has his own show. I'm going to be honest, because his family been through so much, we could just do a whole show just on him and his family and what they've been through. And we've had him on the show before and talked about his life and just having a big family and the struggles of having a Christian home, just living in everyday world. You would be surprised what they went through. But because of who they believe in and who they serve, it makes a difference in the outcome of every situation. It ain't just been one big happy party. So, and he can attest to that. And if you want to listen to more of their, because they're putting their lives out there, and I appreciate them for doing this. They don't have to do it. They put their marriage out there. They put the kids out there, kids' business out there, what they go through every single day and what they've been going through. And because they get over it, it's because of who they serve. And if you want to listen and be encouraged and just think that this stuff just don't happen, it happens to everyday people. It happens to people in the church. Elders in the church, they struggle. We struggle. We all struggle with something. They're just being more real about it, and they talk about it, and they use the platform on chaos to talk about this is how we got through it. You know, so I want to appreciate him for coming out. Overseer, appreciate him for coming out tonight. You can hear him on Wednesday night with Elder Bazaar. You can hear him again on Saturday where he has his own show. And he talks, and also you can hear me again on Sunday with Elder Bazaar. But if you go to my Facebook page, and what was the name of the church you was at yesterday, Doc?
Biblical Underground Church.
Biblical Underground Church.
Oh,
if you go to my Facebook page, if you go there or look on their Facebook page, you'll see this brother preaching on yesterday. So I finally got him on video, so you can, you know, I'm working on one for Elder Bluette to get him on video as well, teaching and preaching the word of God, because people identify a face more so than a voice. Not that they need to see the face as long as you're preaching the word of God, but just trying to get things out there and doing things a little different on chaos is trying to bring everyone together, because we all got the same mission and the same goal, and that's all to get to heaven. And we all go to same place. So, you know, our message may be a little different, but we all going to get to the same place. And with that being said, there was something else I was going to say, and I just totally forgot because my brain is gone. So I want to thank them for coming out tonight. If you guys want us to talk about some things or talk about some subjects, we'll be willing to talk about it. You know, you may not like the response you get. You may not like the answer you get. But, again, it's a conversation. You know, we'll try to give you the right answer through Scripture. And it's just for you to talk about, you know, open conversation, and you can take with it what it's worth. And I do appreciate, you know, everyone for coming out tonight. Again, we got a Praise Tabernacle Bible study tomorrow night. And I can't think of anything else for the first time. I'm trying to be calm and cool and collective when I do my show. I'm trying to be, because I get hyped up about some stuff. And I want to go from 0 to 100, you know, when I think about some things. And I just, again, I want to send a public, you're going to get ready to take us home. I'm about to shut up. But I also want to acknowledge publicly, I did call Elder Bluette yesterday to help me on my ribs. And my wife is a witness that they were falling off the phone. Because no, this is serious, because this is going to be spiritual in a minute. Because I listened to the instructions on how to prepare from a professional. And this is spiritual. If you listen to someone who's been in the Word and has studied the Word, if you listen to it and you apply it, I'm telling you, you will grow. You will grow. You will grow. It's the same thing when it comes to your natural food. People and everyone on this panel have been studying the Bible for a long time, long, long, long time. So we all have something to give. And if people just listen to what's being said and taught, it'd be just like that meat. Elder Bluette had me season and do this and do that, and it made me want to go buy some more ribs and put them on my grill. I want to thank my wife.
Come on, man.
I'm being serious. I got to thank my wife now, because she bought me the big real grill. They ain't got no little funny grill. I got the man's grill now, thanks to my wife. And just want to thank her for all she do, all the support she's given me in the many different ministries I have going on, and she's right there with me, side by side, step by step. And I just want to thank her, because, you know, without her, I don't think any of this would be possible right now.
And I did season the ribs.
Yeah, she did season them. She did an excellent job. I just took them.
I don't eat them, though.
You know, yeah, she don't even eat them. So she did season them. She seasoned the life, the death out of them things yesterday. But anyway, I'm done. All right, go ahead and take us home.
All right, well, I want to thank you gentlemen for coming on tonight. We appreciate y'all always being available. May the Lord continue to bless each of you and everything that you do in your ministries. I do want to let everybody know that, you know, we were given this one life to live, and Jesus came so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus is our hope. He is our hope, and he came so that we wouldn't walk through this life hopelessness alone.
Amen.
We're not walking alone. We're walking. The Lord is with you everywhere you go. So just want to encourage anybody that's listening, God hears you. God hears you. All right. Well, thank y'all for listening. Father God, thank you for allowing us to come together one more time. Thank you for allowing your word to go forth on tonight. We pray that it ministered to someone. We pray that it touched someone's life, not for us to get any glory, but for you to get all the glory. Everything and all roads lead to you. We ask that you just continue to look over your people, continue to bless their ministries, continue to let your will be done in all of our lives. Lord, we praise you, we honor you, and we give you all the glory, for you are truly worthy. There is no one above you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all have a good night.
Amen. Amen. You have a good night. God bless.
Good night. God bless.